It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Trey Gowdy.
I'm Martha McCallum.
I'm Ben Domenech, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Monday, April 8th, 2024. I'm Eben Brown. Hamas rejects a ceasefire again 6 months after starting a war with Israel, as Iran, Hamas's backer, promises retaliation for Israel striking and killing top military officials visiting their embassy in Syria. Will the war worsen?
It's possible they're merely being category conservative for lack of better options, but I don't see a broad-scale Iranian desire to escalate here. However, there obviously is a point in which there would be pushed, and they'd have to do something where they would risk regime legitimacy in their own country.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow Podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Israel's military this weekend ordered a withdrawal of much of its forces in the Gaza Strip, which had mainly been stationed in and around the city of Khan Yunis. But Israel's government, from its prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, to his war cabinet, to his opponents, are not saying the war is over or that they've even ceased firing. They claim it's a chance for soldiers to rest and reposition, signaling Israel is prepared for more fighting. It is marking 6 months since the onslaught of Hamas fighters from Gaza infiltrating Israeli communities and killing more than 1,200 people, mostly civilians, often children and the elderly. Israel has always contended Iran was behind the October 7th attacks, that Hamas acts as a proxy, and in a seemingly bold move, an Israeli airstrike, reportedly on Iran's embassy in Damascus, succeeded in killing top commanders and diplomats from Iran, who Israel accused of helping to plot the October attacks. Hamas is again rejecting a ceasefire deal, though they keep begging for one, and Israel wants its hostages back, but now Iran is promising the U.S. it won't retaliate if Israel agrees to stop fighting in Gaza.
It should be noted, over the last, it's just the entire decade, the 2020s, the Iranian response to a series of actions against its objectives and positions throughout the region has been met with a pretty restrained response on their end.
Kurt Mills is the executive director of the magazine The American Conservative.
And then that might just be because the Iranians are weak, or they fear an Israeli or U.S. escalation. But we really haven't seen the sort of full-scale, brutal counteroffensive that a lot of people had sort of expected out of the Iranians. And perhaps partially that's the capability. The Iranian economy has been hammered, until recently the fall of global oil prices. Has been hammered with the sanctions led by the American administrations, has been hammered logistically by the death of Qasem Soleimani. It's possible they're merely being categorically conservative for lack of better options, but I don't see a broad-scale Iranian desire to escalate here. However, there obviously is a point in which they're would be pushed, and they'd have to do something where they would risk regime legitimacy in their own country.
And what does that look like in their own country? You know, I think we always get so many conflicting perspectives that the Iranians do not support the Iranian people, that is, do not support the regime's war making on the state of Israel, that the Iranians are not big supporters of the Palestinian cause. And then we also hear kind of the opposite, that while perhaps the Iranians are not happy with the Iranian regime, they're either apathetic or perhaps maybe sympathetic to the Palestinian cause. So which one are we to believe? I think we get too many of these conflicting images.
Well, I mean, sort of two separate questions there. In terms of Iranian support for the Palestinian cause, almost all Muslim countries in the Middle East have, you know, at least perfunctory support for the Palestinian cause. What is distinct about Persian Islamist support, which is really the bulwark of the support network that, you know, Hamas and other organizations rely on now, where it is distinct from the sort of previous generation where, you know, Saudi, Egypt, the Sunni autocracies were more the, you know, the tip of the spear in supporting the Palestinians, is that this is a different sect of Islam. You know, Hamas are Sunni extremists. The Iranian government is a Shia autocracy.
Right.
And so while they support Hamas, it's far more complex situation than say in the 1960s, between the Israeli Arab wars. And secondly, in terms of Iranian regime stability, look, nobody knows these things. A country can collapse tomorrow. In terms of the actual protest movements on the ground, there are a lot, so far as we understand, they're a lot smaller than they had been in previous years. The Iranians have been absolutely shellacked, as I previously said, by a whole host of macro factors, really since Trump's renunciation of the JCPOA in 2018. And the Iranian government has more or less stayed in power. Something that I think could set off a crisis is the supreme leader is quite old. And, you know, is apparently, you know, not the greatest health already. If he were to die, there is clearly going to be a succession crisis between competing factions of the hardliners. That's always a chaotic situation that could spill out and have ramifications. And if that happened this year or with a new administration or with this war ongoing in Israel, I think that's a huge X factor people are sleeping on.
We're speaking with Curtis Mills. He's the executive director of the magazine The American Conservative, on Iran promising not to retaliate against Israel if Israel would just stop fighting in Gaza, as Hamas rejects another ceasefire 6 months after their brutal attack. On the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition, we'll have more straight ahead. How involved do you think Iran's leadership is in the decision-making that Hamas is undertaking when they're supposedly brought to these negotiating tables, whether it's in Qatar or in Cairo, where ultimately Hamas rejects a ceasefire agreement? They just rejected another one this weekend, and it's always hinging on who blinks first. I mean, should the Hamas wants Israel to completely disengage from Gaza? Israel obviously wants the hostages released. It never seems to go anywhere. There are seeming to be increasing Israeli capitulations, and yet there's never a deal. Is Iran pushing Hamas, or is Hamas in the lead here? That's another thing that I think confuses a lot of people.
Yeah, I don't think the Iranians are that day in, day out involved, even if they wanted to be. I think, Iran is a lot more powerful than Hamas. But in terms of what Hamas is doing in Gaza, I think it's much like the Houthis in Yemen, where there's a fair degree of autonomy. I think there's potentially even more autonomy with Hamas than in Yemen, because the Houthis, again, they're a Shia sect, so there's right. a little bit more simpatico there. I would say also it's just logistics. How did Hamas achieve the October 7th atrocities? By all reporting, they were barely using cell phones or the internet. They were moving these people house to house. I think they have a patronage network with Iran, and there's always the possibility, if they were going to do something, that the Iranians would lose the stomach for this kind of terrorist warfare.
Right.
But it's like anything. You're basically gambling that people are going to stop cutting the checks. It's not a direct day in, day out management in any way that I've ever seen demonstrated.
Iran is still going to want to somehow respond to Israel. Israel attacked a diplomatic compound. I think instantly there was another cry of committing acts of barbarism on the part of Israel, that they attacked a diplomatic compound. Those are supposed to be sacrosanct. I think people's memories are not very good. Israel has endured, I think, somewhat 40 attacks on its diplomatic compounds around the world since the 1960s. Mm-hmm. I think the most deadly was in Argentina nearly 32 years ago at the embassy there. And that, of course, was followed a couple of years after by the attack on the Jewish Community Center in Buenos Aires, which was a very high death toll. Is Israel wrong to attack a diplomatic compound, considering what we now know was going on there and who the targets were, and considering the fact that they had been victimized like this for decades with Iran not getting the same kind of condemnation, even though Iran had a lot of hands in those things, at least vis-a-vis Hezbollah or other front groups.
Yeah, I mean, it depends what the Israeli government's prerogative is, and depends what if Israel, the country, is unified on the subject. I mean, is Netanyahu going to be the prime minister for very much longer? Are the kind of policies that he's going to pursue going to be the same as a potential successor? It's the same questions that we grapple with here in the United States.
Right.
If the Israeli government has ever has concluded that essentially that, you know, having a state like Iran in the Middle East is just existential threat to its existence, then obviously it has a regime change policy and is going to pursue its prerogatives in that fashion. I would just, you know, submit from an American perspective that, again, the Iranians are underratedly in sort of double check here. So, like, another factor that has happened in the recent years, so the Israeli-Arab normalization of the governments has gotten a lot of press, but a lot of things that haven't gotten a lot of press has been the rapprochement between Iran and Saudi and the other Gulf countries as well. So the Iranians have better relationships with these countries than they did certainly 5 to 10 years ago. And if they attack, say, an Israeli consulate in Bahrain, they would be risking their own relationship with these governments. So it remains to be seen what Iran can even do here. Of course, if they feel like they're just going to be a complete joke and they can't maintain their legitimacy with their hardliners in their own country, they may do something bold. But nobody really knows. And right now, all the recent history indicates that they're not going to respond in this awesome fashion. That could be wrong, but that's the recent precedent.
Kurt Mills, you're the executive director of the American Conservative. Thank you for being with us once again on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.